Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So often the Christmas season becomes commercialized and rather overwhelming. For the next few moments, we invite you to join us with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word as we turn our hearts towards the Christ of Christmas. Stay with us. So many things are fighting for our attention this time of year. There are family gatherings and church fellowships and time to shop and time to spend with friends. You know, there is one that deserves your utmost attention, your utmost worship. He is the center of it all, the Christ of Christmas. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to focus on Jesus. He is more than the reason for the season. He is the beginning and the end, God in the flesh, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Heavenly King, sent to be our Savior. Welcome to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, Dr. Chappell helps us to focus on Christmas. Before we join our message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth, and you'll find out more information about this program and this ministry, dailyintheword.org. Refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and daily devotional. You'll enjoy these resources, and so will someone that you love this season. All of it's to be found at dailyintheword.org. Today, we're going to examine God's promise to Mary. Here's Paul Chappell.
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the series of messages we have been able to preach in these last few months on the promises of God. And God, we do thank you for your many promises. We stand on them and trust in them today. And now, Lord, as we study this morning and preach from this promise given to Mary, a promise that has touched this entire world. We pray that it would touch hearts this morning, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we study the promises of God, it is essential that we not only hear the scriptural promises, but that we believe them as well. It's one thing to hear a great promise from God. It's another thing, by faith, to claim the promise of God. And perhaps the greatest thing that can be said about any man or woman is that they believed God. They trusted in God. The Bible tells us concerning Abraham that he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 21, the Bible says of Abraham, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." That's what faith is. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And certainly Abraham believed God. Truly Mary believed God. And as we read the scriptures before us this morning, we realize that Mary, the mother of our Lord, had great faith in God. While she was astonished at the announcement from Gabriel, nevertheless, she believed God. God's promises are wonderful, but our hearts must receive them in faith. Our hearts must grasp hold of the promises of God and say, "Yes, I am fully persuaded that what God says, He is able to perform." Whether it's the promise of salvation, whether it's the promise of eternal life, whether it's the promise of God's provision, no matter what it is, God's promises are presented, but we must have faith in the promises of God this morning. And I want you to notice, as we study the promise of God to Mary, not only God's great promise through the announcement of Gabriel, but also the reception of that promise from a heart of faith, the heart of Mary. Notice, if you would, this morning in our outline, the moment of the promise. The moment of this promise. The Bible tells us in verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now we see regarding this promise that it was according to God's timing. In the sixth month, the angel came. Another way of stating this promise and the timing of this promise is found in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, where Paul the apostle wrote, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." This promise came exactly according to the timetable of God. You know, I don't know about you, but I find great comfort in the fact that we serve a God who's working according to a timetable this morning. That all things are according to His timing. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, we may not always understand God's timing, but His promises are available to those who will hear, no matter what the time in your life might be. And we see the timing of God was perfect in bringing His Savior to this world. We see that the moment of this promise was according to God's timing. We see, secondly, that this arrival was in a common city. The arrival of our Savior was going to come to a common city, but the promise itself came to a common city. The Bible says that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, it's interesting to study about Nazareth. Nazareth was an obscure city to man, but Nazareth was known unto God. The Bible says in Matthew 2 and verse 23, "And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." You know, one of the great things we learn about this Christmas story this morning is that God is no respecter of persons nor places. God is no respecter of persons nor places. The angel Gabriel came to this young woman Mary in the city of Nazareth. And we thank God today that no matter who you are, no matter where we live, no matter what our station in life, that God is aware of our situation, God loves us, and God brings His promises to us this morning. You see, He was as available to a young woman in Nazareth as he was to the great powers in Jerusalem. God's promises are available to all today. And so we see this announcement coming to Mary in the city of Nazareth. But then I want you to see thirdly about this tremendous promise, that it was announced to a prepared person. This was announced to a prepared person. Notice what the Bible says in verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now we see several things here in this passage. His promise was available when it was needed, and it was available where Mary was at, but it was also a promise that was given to a prepared person. And several things are said about Mary's preparation. You'll notice, first of all, in the scriptures, the Bible says that she was a virgin. She was a pure young woman. She was a chaste, prepared vessel. The Bible not only says that she was a virgin and states it many times in the King James Bible, but also says in this particular scripture that she was espoused to be married. Notice the Bible says that this virgin was espoused to be married. And I want you to notice that the word espousal is very important. You see, espousal was like engagement, but really it was even more than that. It was a stronger commitment than what we would consider engagement in our culture. It's not uncommon in America today to hear of someone who's engaged, and then it's broken off, and then they're engaged, and it's broken off again. But the espousal period in God's timing here and in the life of Christ and in Joseph and Mary's relationship was very, very serious. It was a commitment of 1 year, and in fact, if you were to break that commitment and somehow find yourself being immoral with another person, you would be stoned to death. How many of you would say that espousal is slightly different than what we see in relationships in America today? We see that she was not only a virgin, but that she was espoused to be married. Much more serious of a commitment. And we see that in this espousal, the scriptures are careful to show not only Mary's purity, but Mary's commitment to purity. Not only that she was a virgin, and the scriptures say this continuously, but that she was espoused to be married, which means she was committed to her virginity until the day of her marriage to Joseph. And then not only does the Bible say that she was a virgin and that she was espoused to be married, much more in the commitment level, but also it says, thirdly, that she was highly favored of God. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. She had been seen of God with grace. She had been favored by God. And we see that this promise that was announced to Mary, this promise was given to her because of her prepared life, because of the fact that she had been favored by God. And so as we look to the scriptures this morning, and as we see that this promise came to Mary, we see that this promise was given to her as a prepared vessel for the work of God. But notice secondly today, the message of the promise. The message of the promise. And not only do we see a very exact moment to a prepared person, but I want you to see the message that this promise brought. Verse 31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now this message, first of all, is seen as a message of purity. It is a message of purity. And the Bible tells us concerning the purity of the Lord Jesus and of Mary in verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now friends, when the Bible is repeating an issue, it bears understanding on our part. Once again, Mary says, I know not a man. And I think the scriptures are protecting the fact that Mary was pure, protecting the fact that she was prepared. And she's asking the question, how can this be? And I think, of course, a very logical question. Verse 35, however, the Bible says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And someone might say, when Galatians 4:4 says that this promise would come and be born of a woman, how can that be without a man? And someone might ask the angel, as Mary did, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the answer comes in verse number 35 very clearly, that the power of the Holy One, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee and overshadow thee. Therefore, this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How did this take place? How did this miraculous conception take place? It took place by the power of the highest. Very simply stated, God spoke and it was done. God willed it to be this way and it occurred. And because of the virgin birth, you and I today can put our trust in a perfect Savior. Had Mary not been chaste and pure, had this overshadowing of the Holy Ghost not taken place, then we would not stand and preach week after week the promise of a Savior, of a Redeemer whose blood was not tainted with sin. But because of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, then we can preach about a Savior who came in a miraculous way, and a Savior who, when He died upon the cross, shed perfect blood that you and I might be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so it is a message of purity. And the reason the Holy Spirit goes to such lengths to describe to us the purity of Mary and the purity of the Holy Ghost coming upon her is because of the fact that if you have no virgin birth, if you have no doctrine of the virgin birth, then we have no Savior this morning. But if we have the virgin birth of Christ in its pure and godly form, then we have a perfect Savior and Redeemer who died upon Calvary for our sin. And so we see this to be a message of purity. And then, of course, it is a message of salvation. Because of the purity, because of the virgin birth, we have salvation. The Bible says in verse 31 of this passage, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, I don't know about you, but I like that name Jesus, don't you? And you know, the name Jesus was very common in the first century. And yet, when God chose a name for his son, the name chosen was the name Jesus. The name Jesus, which means Savior, or it says Jehovah is our salvation. And this name Jesus typifies what our Savior's life was really all about. It was all about bringing redemption. It was all about offering salvation, so that anyone who had never known the joy of sins forgiven and the hope of an eternal life in heaven could trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, He is our Savior. Now, many people misunderstand the real purpose of Christ's coming. Some say that He came just to give an example for us to live by. And He certainly did that. He gave the greatest example that you and I could ever follow. Some say that He came just to teach great teachings and to show us great principles. And He certainly did that. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the greatest teacher that ever lived. But He came for a purpose greater than that. The Bible says He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to be a Savior of lost sheep like you and like me. Now, as we think about the coming of Christ, we realize that in this day in which we live, so many people seem to get this message warped, and they seem to misunderstand why Jesus Christ came. I heard about a Sunday school teacher that asked her children to put together some kind of a coloring of Christmas, and she said, "Boys and girls, I want you to try to just draw in your own way and in your imagination what the Christmas story is all about." And one of her students in Sunday school by the name of Jimmy, who was 8 years old, he was one of the best boys in the class. And I'll tell you, he got excited about this project, and Jimmy worked and worked on a picture. And when he brought it to his teacher, it was a picture of a modern-day airplane flying through the sky. And she said, "Jimmy, what does this have to do with Christmas? I can't quite figure this out. Maybe it's some kind of a modern-day rendering of the Christmas story," she thought. Jimmy began to explain it, and he said, "You see, in the plane right there, those three people—that's Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus—on their flight to Egypt." She said, "Well, all right, I kind of get that, but "Jimmy, there's four people in the plane. Who's the fourth one?" And Jimmy said, "Oh, that's Pontius the pilot, and he's flying the plane," and sometimes that's how people get the idea of Christmas, you know, a little bit twisted, and they kind of put their own superimposed idea. You know, if they're really into airplanes, maybe that's the way it would come out, or maybe if they're really into materialism, it comes out a different way. But you see, the real reason he came was to be our Savior. The real reason Christ came was to forgive us for our sins. The Bible speaks of his coming in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 by this phrase, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me." Jesus says, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." In other words, the day of the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings has come to an end. "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me." Why was there a body prepared for Jesus Christ? So that he could lay that body down on the cross for our sins, you see. And when the day of the Old Testament sacrifice came to an end, then God sent forth his Son, Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of a man, bodily, so that he could die for our sins. And this body which was prepared of the Holy Ghost was offered for your sin and for mine. And so Jesus Christ is our Savior. And the message of this great promise is that we have a Savior if we will choose to receive him as our Savior. But you know, this verse not only tells us that he is our Savior, but it also reminds us that he is our King. And the Bible speaks of that in verse number 32. The Bible says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now, we need to keep in our minds this morning that this Christ child, this one who lived on this earth and who was rejected of his own and who was despised and crucified, who was not received as a king in his first advent, will come again as the King to rule and reign over this earth. And we as Christians today need to keep that firmly implanted in our minds. The Bible says in Revelation 19 and verse 16, when Jesus comes again, it simply says, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And we need to remember during the Christmas season that this one who came the first time as an innocent babe in Bethlehem's manger is coming the second time with his vesture dipped in blood, and he's coming as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords, and he will execute righteous judgment, and he will establish his kingdom on this earth, and he will fulfill the Davidic covenant and the promises given to the Jews and the promises given to Christians that he will be our King. One day Jesus Christ will truly bring peace to this earth. And you and I today realize that there will be no peace in the peace accords and no peace that will last in the United Nations accords, but there will be peace when Jesus Christ comes again. And we thank God for that promise today, that he will bring peace to this earth. And that's what the Bible promises. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." What a great promise that one day the King will come. You know, I read a few years ago that every year the New York City Post Office receives 50,000 pieces of mail addressed to Santa Claus. Now that's hard to comprehend. 50,000 children write letters to Santa Claus in that one city alone. And a few years ago, a young boy wrote a letter to Santa that read like this: "Dear Santa, they killed my dad. He drove a taxi. Would you please send me a pair of pants and two sweaters?" Think of that. Would you send me a pair of pants and two sweaters? You know, friend, I think of letters like that. I think of the wars and the murder and the mayhem on this earth, and I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And from the entire staff at Daily in the Word and Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year. We sure hope that this season you'll truly make Jesus Christ the center of your Christmas and the center of your life. Before we close today's program, I invite you to consider the question, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? We heard about that in this morning's message, and friend, it's as simple as making a faith decision to once and for all let go of whatever you're trusting for eternal salvation and to trust Christ alone. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friend, you could call right now. You could bow your head and heart, and in the privacy of your own life, invite Jesus Christ into your life as your one and only Savior once and for all. It's a simple decision, but it's a great decision. As you enjoy a busy but memory-filled holiday season, I want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the link to the bookstore. You'll find not only some great resources to strengthen your own walk with Christ, you'll find a lot of wonderful gift ideas, books and resources for spiritual growth, the kinds of gifts that are Christ-centered, that are biblical, that will help those you love to strengthen their own faith over the Christmas season and well into the new year. All of these resources are found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org, and click on the link that says bookstore. Friend, you can contact us here at Daily in the Word. We love to hear from our listeners. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.